Hello and welcome to another Blue Toon podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead Football Club. I'm Colin Byers and joining me as usual is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome.
Thank you very much.
We've made it to double figures, episode 10, would you believe?
Yeah, I know, it's coming in pretty quick, hasn't it?
It's coming in pretty quick. 10 episodes in, how do you think we're getting on?
So far so good, I would suggest.
We're easing into it, shall we say. Improving week by week.
We hope.
Oh yes, well that's our opinion anyway. Right, so last weekend, again another defeat away to this time at Dumbarton. Although it's another defeat, I would suggest maybe it's a better performance than it was previously.
Much better. Going on the highlights I've seen, I'm still scratching my head trying to figure out, a bit like Jim McAnally, how we haven't taken something from that game. I think, although it, like you said, it's a defeat, I think there's a lot of positives that we can actually take from the game.
The two changes that you made with Stevenson and Lyle came in for Conroy and Ferguson, which gave it a more rigid sort of 4-4-2. We've been saying for the last few weeks that two up top is the better option. So he's gone for the experience of Lyle and McAllister up front, and that did seem to cause them problems right from kickoff as well, because Lyle had a chance within seconds of the game's kicking off.
I thought they teamed up pretty well. Like you said, we've banged on about him two up top for a number of weeks now. Obviously, it didn't pay off on the day, but the amount of chances that they created for each other, Lyle, McAllister, Fraser, they all went close with a couple of chances, and it just takes a fraction either side of the post. That could have been the difference. But I was pleased with the performance. Although we haven't gotten the result, in two up top to me made quite a big difference this week.
We've totally bombarded their goal. We just seem to be chance after chance after chance. I mean, 15 shots in total that game, and as I said, we're kind of sitting here thinking, well, how have we at least not gotten a draw out with that? Because it just seems to be that's how things are going for us at the moment.
Yeah, we said last week it just takes a lucky break. And I don't think we're too far away from it, to be honest. Obviously, I'd be more worried if we're not creating the chances, but we're there. You know, it's a bit like the cliche, you'd rather miss the chances, at least you know you're creating it. And we've seen that. McAllister had a right foot effort, he had a left foot effort, he had an effort for about 6 yards out as well. On another day, McAllister's walking away with a hat-trick, and that confidence spreads through the team. But the performance, for me, was there. It was just unfortunate that we didn't get a goal to get something out of the game.
And the pleasing thing as well was Leach starting again. So he's getting these minutes under his belt. He's getting his fitness back as well. I know Armour played again on the left-hand side. He seems to be favouring him playing left at the moment rather than Smith, which
it's
a debatable position. Armour's a good player. But I think if you've got the choice, I would maybe go with Smith and over Armour.
Yeah, I would agree. For me, personally, I think Aidan Smith's a wee bit more direct. And I've seen that, or we've seen it, I should say, against Airdrie from got beat 2-1. He seemed to be on that left-hand side, but he was cutting in. He seemed to be taking the defender on a bit more direct. It's not to say anything wrong with Ben and his performance. Just think that if you've got a bit of a tempo and a bit of momentum in the game, a direct player can cause quite a lot of problems for the opposition, and I do like Aidan Smith in that position.
With the 4-4-2, it seemed to be a bit more rigid, but everybody was more comfortable, I think, in that roles in the 4-4-2.
It seemed to flow a bit more.
Yes, yeah. The only thing I maybe would be is Leach a left footer on the right hand side, whereas maybe you're missing that.
Natural
right footer.
I think the team that he played, it had the option of when out of position, it's 4-4-2. But when we've got the ball, it can easily change to a 4-3-3, and it just seems to flow a bit more in the highlights that we've seen, which was pleasing to see.
Mm-hmm. And Brown and Fraser in the centre of the midfield as well. I mean, they're strong guys, powerful. Like to get forward, like to pass, so a good combination there as well. So obviously when Simon Ferry comes back. How does he slot in, and where does he get back in the team straight away?
Well, it's certainly, the first question. Yeah, it certainly gives McAnally a decision to make. A couple of weeks ago, we said that once we get players back and competing for their place, we would hopefully see better improvements, and it would raise everybody else's game round about him. And I think that's potentially what we've seen on Saturday. Again, I'm banging on about it, but the performance was there. I think the performance of the players are getting better. They seem to be more comfortable. It seemed to be a formation with the 4-4-2 that they were happy with. Obviously, Stevenson coming back in as well, an experienced player, Lyle. I think Simon Ferry would have his work cut out when he does come back, but again, he's a very good player, and good players will adapt pretty quick.
And saying that Stevenson was back, is it purely coincidental that the two experienced guys, and Stevenson and Lyle, come back that we played better? Or, as I said, is that just purely coincidental?
No, I don't think it's... maybe, but they are experienced players. They know how to manage games. I think I was quite pleased with them when they came in. No issues.
So, obviously, the negative side was the goal. Last week, we were speaking about Hooper and his needed to be stronger against a big guy like Connor Salmon. And obviously, we know what happened there. Again, same thing seems to happen. For some reason, Hooper was up against the big guy, Isaac Lane. And for the goal in particular, it seemed to be that he was... he didn't seem to be tight enough, and he didn't seem to be strong enough, because he was turned too easily.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, he got the cross in for the goal.
Just before the... I'm just going to take it back a step slightly further. The right back, the right midfielder, he has got far too much time to pick out that pass in the striker. It's a 20-25 yard ball, it's on the deck, but there's so much time for that guy to look up, pick up a pass into the striker, it's into his feet, and as you said, Hooper's touch tight, and he's sort of been rolled a little bit, and the boy's got across the face a goal. But to me, you've got to stop that ball initially coming in. So I'm sure McAnally would have spoken about that with his staff, saying that, you know, he's a big lad, Isaac Lane. Anything in there, even to feet, you're going to struggle with. And I think we've seen that with the highlight. He's got too much time.
He does seem to like the bar to feet as well as, you know, the obvious long punts. So, yeah, that's a concern. But he and Jason Brown, obviously, are youngish kind of guys. They maybe need to work on their strength a little bit and maybe be a bit more aggressive. We said last week as well that Jason Brown looked to be a bit more aggressive and a bit more authoritative with his defenders.
Yeah, he's quite animated.
Yeah, so maybe we need that throughout the team as well. A bit more leadership sometimes is maybe lacking a little bit. As obviously we stand after that game, baffled as to how we didn't get it. Jim spoke after that he thought there was a penalty in the second half. We debated last week about a penalty.
I doubt we'll need to debate this week.
We're not going to debate this one. I think we're both in agreement this time. And we don't want to be disagreeing too much with the manager, but he seems to think it was a penalty. I don't think it was.
No, I don't think it was a penalty either.
I think it's one of those... If it was given against you, you'd feel pretty hard done by. It seemed to be, okay, there maybe was a little bit of contact, but I think it's one of those
he's looking for it. He's made the most of it, shall we say.
And that's the kind of things that we're clutching at straws a minute. We're trying to get one of those. Jim obviously keeps going on about the lucky breaks. Sometimes it's a refereeing decision. Had he given that, obviously we would have taken it.
Oh, yeah.
We would have taken it and maybe gotten away with a 1-1. Or even maybe then going on and won the game. And that maybe would have turned it. But that's the kind of things that he's looking for. And he says it's not happening for us. And we keep saying it. We keep saying it as well, week after week. But there comes to a point for... you keep saying it, but it's never going to happen. Or is it going to happen?
I think I'd be more worried if the performance levels wasn't there. You know, and we're getting beat 2-3, 4-0... But I think the performance level is there. We've seen it against Airdrie. Okay, you take the Falkirk result out of the equation, that's almost like a free hit. But the performance was there against Dumbarton, was there against Airdrie. It will take a bit of fortune to go our way. Like you said, maybe a set piece. It was mentioned last week off a defender's backside. Had we gotten that penalty that Jim's looking for, yeah, could have changed the game, could have gone and got a bit of momentum to win it. But I think, as you said, we're clutching at straws a wee bit if we're looking for a penalty. We'd be raging if that was against us.
Aye. And the other thing that we mentioned last week as well was the need for the defenders to sort of step up and get their bodies in, make the tackles, make the blocks. And we've seen that's exactly what happened, but it was the Barton players that was doing it. Right towards the end of the game, they were getting the tackles in, they were throwing their bodies in, and that's what we seem to be lacking at the minute, for whatever reason. But you would like to see that, because I think, obviously, that would help as well. You score your goals at the other end, but you need to stop them at your end as well.
Yeah, if you make an important challenge or clearance, that spreads a bit of confidence through the team. Obviously, you need something to build on. And if we can get a clean sheet to start with, you know, it's small things, a slight progression, but we've got to start somewhere.
Because apart from the Raith Rovers and the Falkirk away games,
yeah,
every loss has been by a single goal.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think we've been outclassed really, apart from them games. So that, to me, says that performances are there. Mm-hmm. We just haven't had the breaks to go with it.
Yeah. Maybe slightly premature and... going by what some sections of the fans have been saying after the game, some people have been saying that it's maybe time for Jim to go. I think that's a bit harsh, and I think it's a bit
very harsh,
unnecessary at this stage. Because as I said, if it was a case that we were getting beat 4-0, 5-0, the performances weren't there, the players that were coming in were obviously not at the right level, then you'd maybe question it. But to say that, to give a guy who's been here eight years now and then just say after, 11 games into the league campaign, I just get rid of him.
He didn't become a bad team overnight. You know, no. We got promoted. He's brought in quality. You know, there is a slight gap, very slight gap opening up in the league with the bottom four teams. But we've seen, Jim mentioned it in his post-match comments as well, Montrose, they were languishing at the bottom, they got four wins on the bounce, started off with, against us. It just shows you the importance of a bit of momentum. And, you know, I can see a win round the corner. How far round the corner is it, I don't know. But once we do eventually get that next win, that win can then breed a whole new confidence in the team.
Because it is, well, we keep saying it, but every game is going to be tricky because it seems to be every team can take points off each other. The next two games are difficult, or are going to be even more difficult than they have been. And you see with the result that Clyde had last week when they went to Falkirk and won, and suddenly the top six is only separated by 5 points. So it's a league that's very difficult to predict. It's a league that... At the moment, it seems to be it's up for grabs for anybody to take. And as you said, with Montrose winning four in a row, they've gone from bottom to seventh, and then within touching distance of the playoff positions again.
It's a very competitive league. I think during the summertime, we mentioned that your home games are important because, like you said, we feel that every team can take points off each other along the road. And obviously results this weekend have certainly shown that Clyde's result
as well, and obviously we're next opponents is Raith at home on Saturday. They're sitting top, but they've drawn three in a row, having won two on the bounce without conceding. So we said last week as well that Dumbarton seemed to be inconsistent. Maybe inconsistent isn't the right term. Maybe I've been a bit unfair to these teams, but it does show that anybody can beat anybody. The three draws that they've got was against Falkirk and Clyde, both of which were 2-2, and then last week they drew with East Fife. Obviously East Fife are sitting joint top with them as well, so competitive at the top, but it is going to be difficult even at home, I would think.
Yeah, Falkirk and Raith at home, or even away, like home and away, they're your most difficult games on paper. Kenneth, I wouldn't be surprised if we're actually next on for that game. Because where performances are there, you never know, you could shock Wraith. They might underestimate Peterhead. But coming up north, you just never know. I think we could actually get some on Saturday.
If the weather helps, then that might play a massive... I think they're going to bring up a big support. I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe not to the levels that Falkirk did, but I mean, they're quite central, so they're not too far away. If they come up the road. But they've got 13 different scorers this season, which shows that they can get goals anywhere from the team, which is the opposite of Peterhead at the moment.
Yeah, they seem to be scoring from everywhere. We seem to be struggling to score. And, they're going to be a tough team to go against, and that's also... They don't have Lewis Vaughan either. We touched upon that when we played him down there. He'll be a big mess, but like you said, they've got 13 different scorers. They can get goals from all over the pitch. I think every player's a danger for Wraith.
The top goal scorers is Grant Anderson and Michael Miller. They've only got four, but when you've got 13 different scorers, it really doesn't matter. Really,
it's shared out.
It is shared out. I don't know how interesting it is, but the referee for Saturday is Gavin Ross. The last time we had him, he refereed the Airdrie game, and he gave that penalty. It cost us the game.
Yeah,
he didn't give the penalty, which we thought was a penalty.
Yeah.
So I would do a favour from the referee this weekend then.
Yeah, I'll take anything. So yeah, hopefully he's doing us a favour. But it just shows you the standard or inconsistency, shall we say, the Scottish referees. We've seen the Airdrie game, the penalty that was given that we didn't think was a penalty, the one that we did think wasn't given. Also, we've seen the incident that we had a debate about last week down at Falkirk. You know, it just shows you've got to appeal for everything with Scottish referees.
Oh, and we'll certainly be appealing everything. Aye, exactly. So the gap at the bottom is, you mentioned earlier on, there's 3 points separating the bottom three, and then there's a 3 point gap between them and Montrose.
Yeah.
So it's not sort of squeaky bum time, it's too early for that, but yeah, you need to start picking up points, particularly obviously with Stranraer. They kind of buy a win at the moment, so if you can start winning before they get points, then you start pulling away from them. A little bit of daylight, it helps. It almost picks up the morale slightly when you see the league and you start clawing up the points and clawing up the table a little bit. Whereas Stranraer at the bottom, if they see people pulling away from them, they'll maybe drop their confidence a little bit.
Earlier on the season, we were quite optimistic and we maybe foolishly thought about playoffs for promotion. Like you said, there is a gap opening up. We just need a break from somewhere to give us that win. And once we get it, I think we will go on and improve. It's not a bad team. I think you mentioned last week, there's a lot of players in our team that maybe other teams in our league wouldn't mind having. Stranraer, they are struggling at the bottom, but then you just look up, you've got Forfar and Montrose. Montrose are a really good example. They couldn't buy a win at the start of the season. They got a result against us, and they've propelled themselves into a really good position at the moment, and obviously they're building on that. And hopefully we can do the same.
So, are we changing our prediction for the start of the season? Then we thought playoff position, are we going to wait until maybe halfway through the season and see where we're at and reassess? Because I think at the moment, as you said, if we can get a run, then we're back into it again. But we're just waiting for that run to happen.
Yeah, you said it. It's such a tight league. I mean, we could argument say beat Wraith, and then you're rather than looking sort of below you, you're looking upwards and going like you're only 3 points off, you know, fourth and fifth. So yeah, maybe promotion playoffs are a wee bit optimistic. But I don't see no reason why we can't. You know, Peterhead do notoriously go on runs, whether it be good results or bad results, and I'm sure obviously we're not in great form at the moment, but you get a result from somewhere, you just never know.
You just have to keep knocking at the door, as it were, and chopping at the door, and then the goals will come, and that's what's going to make the difference. So Saturday, Wraith, you said there that you might pick up something. I think to be honest with you, I think we'd be happy with a draw.
Yeah.
I would take a draw. Obviously, you'd like to win, but a draw at this stage against the league leaders would be a bit of a morale boost, I think, going into, you know, as I said last week, the difficult November, December period.
The first goal on Saturday will be really crucial. If we can get the goal, it gives you something to hang on to, bodies flying in, try and defend that. Go a goal down, you know, you don't want the heads to drop. But if you do concede, and or let's say it is early on, you know, it gives you a really uphill battle.
The one thing you've got to watch is that majority of Wraith's goals has come in the last 15 minutes. Now, that could be because they are full time and they're up against the part time teams. So, I mean, the last 15 minutes, we've got to watch that.
I think we conceded quite early when we were down there in the cup and in the league.
I think
we're a couple of goals down. Yeah. So, that says that Wraith will start really strong against us, but we've got to be switched on.
Yeah.
Granted, that game's where we're both down there.
Is he going to change his tactics again? Because he went in the league game down there. He went for a back three or a back five, whichever way you want to put it.
And then
at Falkirk two weeks ago, he went for a 4-5-1, trying to fill up the midfield, both of which didn't work. It's at home this time, so it's slightly different. So does he stick with the 4-4-2 in the hope that, or stick with the players that played last week in the hope that the breaks come, or does he think maybe more conservatively?
I would like to see him go exactly the same as what we did against Dumbarton. The formation, the personnel, and just say it was a really good performance on Saturday, but just didn't get the result. Go out and try and do the same again, but with a more positive result.
If he's fit, I think he might bring in Simon Ferry again and play. It won't be a 4-3-3, but he'll keep maybe Armour and Leach off of say McAllister maybe, and then have your three in the midfield. I think that's the way he'll go. He'll try and fill up the midfield again.
So would you be thinking a 4-5-1 out of possession, which could lead to a 4-3-3 in possession. With your wingers?
Yes, I think that's what he'll maybe do, because I think he likes the three in midfield. He likes the Fraser and Ferry and Brown in midfield, because Ferry is a good player, as we said, and yeah. I think his experience in a game like that, he's becoming more and more of a leader, I think, as well. Because you've seen towards the end of last season and the beginning of this season, he's very vocal, and he seems to bring almost like a calmness to the team. In a game like this, I think that's maybe what's needed, or else, because it's still a relatively young takeaway, obviously, your fullbacks, it's a young centre half that's playing, so his experience just in front of them, just
it's
to cover,
quite crucial.
Is crucial. So maybe that's maybe his thinking. I don't know. It's difficult to try and predict what he's going to do at this season, because he's changed it quite a lot. But I think if he is fit, I think Ferry will come in and start. And obviously, if somebody's going to drop out, who will obviously feel quite unlucky? Because I think Lyle or McAllister did anything wrong.
I thought they linked up well.
The only thing they didn't do was score.
Yeah,
which is obviously
they for the want to try him.
Aye, yeah. No, as I said, with the 15 efforts in goal, Brown had a few obviously long rangers as well. But yeah, I think that's what he'll do. He'll try and fill up the midfield. To second guess Jim at this stage of the season is you're not going to win. But hey, well, you never know. It might be a prediction that actually comes through.
Because we'd do a break with him as well.
We'd do a break with him, unless he decides he's going to go back to his back three again, which I'd be sceptical if that's the way he'd go. I think we try and be conservative, but you'd want him to try and attack. But you never know. It's difficult
second guessing, Jim, as you just said.
Aye,
keeps you on your toes.
Certainly keeps us on our toes, and we'll see what happens on Saturday. As I say, I think they'll bring up a big support. I think it'll be busy on Saturday, as it was when Falkirk came up. So we might have to get that sharpish for our pretty much routine. And see how the bar staff all cope with the busy bar
demand.
Again. Because Donna seemed to struggle last night at 4 o'clock. We're up, and even said that she was going to take a holiday the next time they were up. So there we go. But a big support like that is actually good for the tune as well as a whole, because it's not just obviously the football club. They go to other pubs and eateries within the town as well. It just boosts up.
Yeah, it creates a little bit of atmosphere on the match day, doesn't it?
People
arriving at the stadium.
And it's and if everybody's as welcoming to the away fans, the away fans will come back again and again.
Yeah.
And again. So it's always nice to get these big away supports coming up noon again. So all in all, I think so you're going to go with a win, or are you happy with a draw, did you say?
I would like a win, but if come the full time whistle it is a draw, at this stage I'd probably take that.
So we're sitting on the fence in this one. No actual predictions.
If you're looking for a prediction, 1-1.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I'd be happy with a 1-1. I'd be happy with a 0-0, to be honest with you, as well. Keeping a clean sheet. And then we'll second guess what the team selection's actually going to be, because we never know. He's just done a care what he's going to do. So there we go. That is it from us. That's week 10, episode 10. Thanks everybody for listening and your feedback so far. It's been great to hear from you. So we'll keep it going, and hopefully we'll improve as the weeks go on, as they say. Apart from that little link there. But that's this from us for another week, and we'll see you all next week. Cheers, bye.